It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
And welcome to the Sports Spotlight on this November 11th edition of the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside, as always, Kevin Gleva and special guest Owen Pulley, who is not going to be a special guest for the show. He's on the show for the whole thing. So, November 11th, week 10 in the NFL. We have a good show coming your way. Cam Newton back in Carolina. That's the big news of the day. Yeah, Owen, he didn't even know about it.
I did not know that. We did NFL coverage today.
Recently, so.
We did NFL coverage today, and I didn't see that.
Yeah, it just happened. Oh. So Newton will be back in Carolina. Colts versus Jags this Sunday. The Colts looking to win two consecutive games and get back to 500 for the first time in really the whole season. NFL Week 10 preview. Got lots of games. Got a Twitter poll going on currently. Follow us on Twitter at @the_spotlight. You can find all our news about the show and basically anything if you want to interact with us. I mean, we talk sports on that account all the time. Pacers losing a tough one versus the injured Nuggets. I mean, nothing could go their way last night. The referees didn't go their way either. A look around the NBA. There's lots of teams that have been surprising. And really, the most surprising teams have been the ones of the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards. Both 8-3 this morning. So it's more to talk about and more sports coverage. Sports Spotlight, Jackson White, Kevin Gleva, and Owen Pulley. We're going to hop right into it with our first topic, Colts versus Jaguars. The Jaguars got a 9-6 win over a team that everyone thought would win the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, 9-6. That game was really bad. And, I mean, the Jaguars are really bad, and they beat a tough Bills team. I mean, just what do you think? Do you think the Jaguars have any chance in beating the Colts?
You know, I think anything could happen in the NFL, but like we just saw last week, like you said, with the Jaguars beating the Bills. The Colts coming off a big win against the Jets, playing prevent defense in the end, really caused the Jets to score 30 points to get up there. But I think that the Colts should have an easy win against the Jaguars this week.
Yeah, and I mean, the Jaguars coming off that win against the Bills, I mean, they could have like the big win hangover where the next week they go in kind of not as focused, not as ready to play. I think the Colts should be the team winning, but like Owen said, I mean, it's the NFL. Anything can happen on any given Sunday, but I mean, if the Colts were to lose to the Jags, that'd be a disappointing loss.
If the Colts lose to the Jags, I mean, their season's over. Okay, I'm going to be the first to say it. If they do lose if they lose this game, they're done.
They can't lose another conference game, really. It'll be done. They can really only lose about two or three games for the rest of the season.
Maybe.
To be playoff hopeful.
Maybe. Hopefuls. I mean, they're going to have to win way more than they're going to lose.
Yeah.
But practice report for the Colts on this Thursday. This was from yesterday. Xavier Rhodes did not practice with a calf injury. Same with Brayton Smith. Elbow injury now. And, I mean, he got that big contract, and he's been on the injury report almost every single day, and that's just not good to see from the Colts starting right tackle. T.Y. Hilton will be back next Sunday, most likely. He's missed the past game with a concussion. Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson both with ankle injuries. League practice, of course. So, I mean, they've both played limited practices all season, and even though Nelson did miss a couple games, Leonard's played every game at an elite level. I do expect them to play Sunday. Big thing is Jonathan Taylor. Last week having 200 total yards, and now he leads the NFL in total yards from scrimmage with over 1,100. That's over Derrick Henry, even though Henry did not play last week. I mean, that's kind of a good feat on the season. He's really close to 1,000 rushing yards, and he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. Jonathan Taylor, is it time to say that he is a top three running back in the NFL?
Top three, I don't know.
I think Taylor's the best running back in the NFL that's not named Derrick Henry.
So you think he's two?
Yes.
I think he is.
So right
too.
Now he's. I think there's right now he's the best running back in the NFL.
Jonathan Taylor, as you're saying,
with Derrick Henry being hurt, yes, I think he is.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, you could put him
so
top
who,
three.
So who are you taking over Jonathan Taylor right now?
McCaffrey.
Really?
You can't take McCaffrey.
There's no way.
Healthy.
Yeah, healthy. That's the thing because McCaffrey cannot stay healthy.
If we are going people playing.
No, I want you to go off if they've been hurt. I want you to go off right now. If you're an NFL GM drafting a team, fantasy draft style, who are you drafting knowing the players can get hurt?
But the,
who are you taking
the ones who
time?
Are hurt are healthy right now in this draft.
No, I mean, I'm just
okay,
saying.
I was,
right
okay.
Now, who are you taking over Taylor right this moment?
And don't say Alvin Kamara.
That's close.
I mean, he's good.
You could, but.
I'll give you three.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying they'd go in this order, but Nick Chubb, one of the best. He averages one of the highest rush yards per carry
Nick
in the
Chubb
league.
Is a slower, fatter Jonathan Taylor.
He's like Eddie Lacy.
He has the highest yards after contact in the league.
And Nick Chubb does?
Yes. And when he gets in the open field, he doesn't get caught. He has the speed to, like, he's in the secondary, he can break free.
Nick Chubb's a top seven running back, I think, but I think Taylor's better. I mean, Taylor's a guy who I think could be a generational back. I mean, he's in his second year. He had 1,000, and he was third in the NFL in rushing last year.
He could be the next edge.
He's going to be the first in this year. He's going to lead in total yards from scrimmage, and he's going to lead the league in rushing yards. I mean, this guy is a beast.
Do you think he could be the next Edgerrin James? Vindy, if he stays healthy?
Yeah, I think he could. Will he? I don't know. Edgerrin James was really good. I mean, the Colts kind of got lucky in the early 2000s. I mean, they went from Marshall Faulk to Edgerrin James just in a draft.
How did the Colts do that with Manning, Harrison, Wayne, Clark,
I mean, they had weapons everywhere.
How did they get so good? Like, I get Manning was a draft because they had the number one pick, but like...
They drafted all those guys. They drafted Harrison in 96, Manning in 98, Edge in 99, and Wayne in 2001.
I forgot. They did what? They went 3-13? Manning's first year?
Yeah, and then they went to 13-3 the next year, and then they kind of fell off.
And then they won the Super Bowl a couple of years later.
In 06.
Yeah.
But that was kind of they should have had multiple Super Bowls than that. But going back to now, John, so you're saying you're going to take Nick Chubb over Taylor. Who else?
Like Owen said, Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
He can rush the ball, and he's one of the best out of the backfield. I mean, very elusive. One of the most elusive backs in the league. Very hard to tackle. So, I mean, he's definitely more of a out-of-the-backfield type player. But Kamara. And then, this one. I don't think you'll be happy about this one, honestly. But.
Oh, God.
Coming out of the Cowboys.
Oh.
Ezekiel Elliott.
There's
the crop
no.
top. What is it? The crop top crusader himself?
That guy,
he's always injured. Like, not always, but when he's injured for multiple games. He's good out of the backfield. He's strong, but when he gets stopped, he's getting stopped. He's not very good at getting guys out of the backfield. Like, his yards after contact are not that good.
Elliott fumbles too much.
Yeah,
and he
fumbles the ball.
Here's the thing.
Injuries. He's injured.
Not right now.
I mean, he's
not right now, but...
But
he's injured.
But when he's not injured, he has played well.
Are you really taking Elliott over Taylor? I mean, Taylor's younger, and he's produced at a level that Elliott's never got to. Even though Elliott
and
was really good his first year.
And never will get to.
Oh, well, no, he's just going to go downhill.
Yeah, he's never going to get to the level that Jonathan Taylor's at right now. He's not even peaked yet. Jonathan Taylor won't peak for another 3-4 years.
Let's just listen here.
I mean, he's leading rusher in the NFL. So maybe he hasn't peaked, but he's hitting his prime spot.
Who?
Taylor. JT.
Taylor, I don't think he's at his prime yet. He's only 23.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He's entering it.
He's going into it.
Yeah, he won't peak for another 3 to 4 years.
That's not the NBA. I mean, he's probably going to peak, but who knows how long he's going to stay at the top.
Right.
And the lifespan for NFL running backs.
Well, not a lifespan, a career span.
You know what I mean.
Unless you're Adrian
Peterson. Because they just constantly get hit so much. It's like 3 years.
Just listen here.
But
before
Ezekiel Elliott, teams stack the box against the Cowboys so hard. just to stop their run game.
Do they, though? Because they have one of the best passing games in the league. I don't think that's
right. Yeah, when you have a quarterback like Dak,
there has been teams
very
that
hard.
Have stacked the box.
Back in the day, whenever they didn't have weapons, but they have three receivers that could go for 1,000.
When they had Tony Romo as a quarterback, they're not stacking the box like that. No, they have Dak as a quarterback. And
I mean, Romo was a good quarterback.
Who's even the running back with Romo?
DeMarco.
DeMarco Murray?
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray. Oh. But he had Dak, or not Dak, he had Dez Bryant.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Cowboys have weapons.
What do they have now? CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. Yeah. But then just
opens up those lanes for Elliott.
Okay. Well,
but if you're stacking the box like that so much, just, like you said,
let me
stop the run game, he's going to pass.
Let me talk. Okay.
All right, back to Jackson.
Okay.
I got stats.
Winning record.
I got stats.
Hit us.
The Cowboys, they have a better, I mean, but currently, rushing yards through week 9. Number one, Derrick Henry of 937. He's done for the year, most likely. So that's not going to improve. Jonathan Taylor, 821. Second in the league. Third, Nick Chubb, 721. Fourth, Joe Mixon, 636. Fifth, Elliott, 622. And then down the list of 10 is your guy Alvin Kamara with 530.
Oh, yeah. You forget about Joe Mixon. You're gonna take Zeke over Mixon?
Yeah, yes. I'd take Zeke over Mixon.
You're going to take Kamara over Mixon?
No.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. But no, just let me go. So now let's go to rush attempts, okay? So number one is obviously Henry with 219. Second is Mixon, okay, with 150.
I mean, with...
The Colts don't run the ball.
With how bad their O-line is, though, why is Mixon getting so many carries?
That's a real question. But... Then you have Najee Harris with 150, and he is ninth in the league with 541. And then you have Kamara with 146, and then you have Taylor with 140, and that's kind of a big thing. Kamara has 146 carries, and Jonathan Taylor has 140. Jonathan Taylor has 300 more yards than Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I think that Jonathan Taylor, like, the Colts don't run the ball enough, and I feel like if they would run the ball way more, or not even way more, just a little bit more, he'd have way better stats than what he is now.
We'll see. And then, yards per attempt. Nick Chubb leads the league, 6.0. Taylor's right behind him, 5.9. And then let's go to broken tackles. And this kind of adds up as well. The lead leaguer is Javonte Williams for Denver. Then Joe Mixon, then Harris, then Taylor. And I don't see any of the guys you mentioned. But yards after contact. That's another big thing. Lead leaguer, Derrick Henry, 487. Taylor's right behind him, 449. And then guys that you like to mention, Elliott, 266. And then the other guys you mentioned not on the list. Rushing touchdowns, Jonathan Taylor has 8. I'm looking at this list, and I see Elliott with 5, Chubb with 6. I don't see Kamara.
How many does Henry have?
Henry, 10. He's leading the league. Then James Conner.
I figured.
Yeah. Receptions is a whole different ballgame. And the only person who you mentioned on the list is Kamara with 32, and he is 8th in the league. So, the best lead leaguer in that is DeAndre Swift with the Lions. And then receiving yards, Taylor is 5th with 293. And then Kamara is only 20 yards more than Taylor and is a receiving back. That's just something to go off of. And then scrimmage yards, Jonathan Taylor blows everyone out of the water with 1,114, and then the next best guy is Henry with 1,091, but the next best guy who is active is Kamara, 300 yards behind him. So if you look at the stats, I mean, as of right now, the best statistical running back in the league besides Derrick Henry has to be Jonathan Taylor. And I think by the end of the year, he's going to be up there in the ranks of, let's say, the Henrys, the Chubbs, the Kamaras, and the Dalvin Cooks. And I think, myself, I'm going to put him above them.
All right.
Any words, Kevin?
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, he puts up good stats. 4th in the league, rush yards per game with Henry. I mean, Henry's kind of out of this conversation just because he's hurt right now.
He's not 4th in the league in rushing.
Per game, 91 yards per game. Mm-hmm. With Nick Chubb is 2nd with 103. Dalvin Cook, third with 92, so just a yard ahead of Taylor. But Henry, Chubb, and Cook, and all three guys who have proved over the course of seasons they can do it consistently. I mean, if Taylor can do it for 1 year, great. But to be one of the top backs in the league,
Taylor did it last year.
You got to be able to consistently do this each year.
Taylor did it last year as a rookie.
The stats he's putting up this year.
I mean, he was close last year. He had 1,000. He was the third in rushing last year. Chubb was not third. Chubb was below him.
Yeah, he was hurt quite a bit last year as well.
Yeah, but just because you're a Browns fan.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You just want Chubb.
Yeah, but you can't say Chubb's not one of the best.
Chubb is really Chubb is really good. I think he could be top five in the league. I don't think that.
I think he's seven.
I don't think Jonathan Taylor, or I don't think that he's but better also, than Jonathan Taylor.
I mean, Nick Chubb has a great O-line. Jonathan Taylor also has a great O-line.
He just has an injured O-line right now. Jonathan Taylor does.
It's getting healthier.
Yeah, it is, but it started off really banged up. But yes. Also missing a piece with Costanzo retiring, getting an Eric Fisher new, and from Kansas City. But with Jonathan Taylor, like I said before, Wentz doesn't run the ball enough.
It's not Wentz making the plays.
Wentz called off against Tennessee. I heard he called off 8 rushing plays.
Early in the season. You're getting your stats from earlier.
Yes. Early in the season, the Colts never run the ball.
2 weeks ago, Wentz added 8 running plays.
I thought he called. I read that he called off.
He called off 8 of them in the first matchup at Tennessee.
I heard in Tennessee that he called off 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Then that was
so, of late, the Colts have been trying to run it more. Of late.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they did earlier in the season, those first...
Oh,
three or 4 weeks. I mean, Taylor's stats would be undeniable, the best in the league.
Oh, yeah. If he would have got carries early in the season, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Frank Reich confuses me. I don't know why you're not going to run with your.
I mean,
his game plan changes like every week.
Because he's a quarter. I wonder if it's because he's a quarterback in, Buffalo.
No, I just think he's
a pass heavy quarterback.
No, I don't know. He confuses me. He reminds me of certain coaches. I'm not. Just those type of coaches that are like, you'd think of them, wow, that was just a great play call. But then a play later, it's like, why? So, yeah, but before we wrap up this Colts thing, I mean, how impressed have you been with Carson Wentz? I mean, he had a bad game versus Tennessee, but as of right now, he's 10th in the league in passing yards with 2,198. He's right up there, tied 7th in the league in passing touchdowns. He's top 10 in passer rating. I mean, he's there in every statistic.
I think one of the big
things for him is just he's thrown, 3 picks on the year? Which, I mean, that's huge for a quarterback keeping possessions for their offense. I mean, I think Taylor has kind of been starting to prove we were just talking about him too much. Wentz is starting to prove. I mean, he can play at an elite level for the Colts.
I think that he's playing how he can play right now. Like, he's playing really well right now for Indianapolis, but I think that he's done it in the past. He just had a really bad year last year, so everybody's saying, oh, he's playing really well. Well, you're comparing it to his stats last year where he was not very good.
He was atrocious last year, but that team was atrocious, and that game plan was atrocious.
But he, a couple of years ago, what was it, 2018? Super Bowl 52?
Yeah.
He was on track for MVP that season and then got injured.
Yeah, I mean,
he's had those years before, and then I think that just compared to last year, he's playing really well, but compared to the seasons prior, he's playing pretty average.
He had a good 2019 campaign.
Yeah, he did, but 2020 was just not good.
Yeah, and I mean, through 9 games, he threw 16 touchdowns to 15 interceptions and fumbled a couple times. But he's not doing that this year, so, but I do think the Colts are going to get the win this Sunday. I don't think it's going to be close. And now we're going to go to our Twitter poll, as we did a poll for every game that happened. Well, that's going to happen this weekend. And the poll, let's see how many votes we got. And let me go to it. And we had 6 votes, so it's not too many. And if you want to vote on our Twitter poll, a whole 6 votes. Hopefully we can build that viewership.
How many followers does that Twitter account have?
30.
The next person could be 31st.
I don't even think I follow it. The Weekly Sports Talk Twitter page, we have 6 followers. You started in the beginning of the year.
Well, it's because we're better than your show.
True.
But you can follow us at the @S_spotlight, and you can vote in our polls. And 6 votes, all to the Colts, 100%. So if you want to vote in that, you can, and we will update it throughout the show. And then we'll wrap it up and say the final tally. But as of right now, 6 votes, 100% to the Colts, winning versus the Jacksonville Jaguars at home at Lucas Oil Stadium. But one of the big topics is that's going on in the NFL. Cam Newton going back home to Carolina. And Cam Newton, I mean, he's a good player. When he was in Carolina, he kind of went to New England, had a bad year, you could say. He got released right before the season started. Cam Newton will be going back to Carolina since Sam Darnold is going to be out for multiple weeks, to 6 to 8. I don't think he's going to play the rest of the year. I don't think he's going to be a starter next year anyway. Cam Newton has a chance to prove himself back at home.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going back to the place where he was able to win an MVP award. I mean, I think he's going back to a place where he just fits into the offense better. I don't think the Patriots are really have a game plan that's built for a quarterback like him, kind of more athletic, not the greatest at throwing the ball, but he can also run with it. So I think, I mean, it's just a better place for him to play than the Patriots, but it'll be interesting to see how he works out.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that he's back in that place where he can just prove himself in Carolina. Like you said, Kevin doesn't really fit the play style of New England, but obviously they've had him in the past, so they know what he can do, what Newton can do with the ball. So I think that good things could happen with him.
The real question is, do you think Carolina can, how many games do you think Carolina can win with Cam Newton under center? Currently, I mean, there's only, let's say, 8 games left. How many games do you realistically think they can win with Newton?
Probably like 5.
So you think they're going to finish the year 5-3?
Yeah. That sounds pretty accurate.
I think they're going to win 2 or 3. I mean, they'll probably win a couple. But I don't think Cam Newton's going to take this team to any higher level that they were already playing. I do think he's better than Sam Darnold. But I don't think this Carolina team's really elite, to say the least. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at their schedule for the last stretch of the season, I mean, they have to play the Cardinals, they have to play the Bills, they have to play the Buccaneers twice. All solid teams. I mean, the Saints, they're off and on. I mean, that's not a given win. And they play the Washington football team, the Dolphins, and the Falcons. And those are 3 games that, you know, I could see them winning. But the rest of them, I think, most likely losses for them.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't think Carolina's going to do too much. But other games around the league, Week 10 review, Thursday night football, kind of got a stinker. Ravens-Dolphins, our Twitter poll says Ravens 80% chance to win that one. And then we go to the Sunday games, Tennessee versus New Orleans. And we had some votes on that as well, and they had Tennessee winning with a 67% chance over the Saints. Bills versus Jets, the Bills got 100% of the vote. Lions-Steelers in kind of a... confused why the Lions got so many votes, but the Steelers won 60-40.
Kevin, are you hacking into the Twitter again?
No, I was not.
Colts obviously went 100-0. The Buccaneers had a 100% chance with the 6 votes versus the football team. And kind of a game that's up in the air, and I don't think that Mr. Gleva over here is going to like this, but according to Twitter, 71% of people think the Patriots are going to beat the Browns.
Hey, I mean, the Browns are going into Gillette Stadium in New England, playing the solid rookie quarterback in Mac Jones. And I think the big thing for the Browns is just going to be they've had some COVID-19 things, which, I mean, the players who got it are vaccinated, so it's like up in the air on their status, and they have to provide negative tests to be able to play. So it'll be interesting to see what happens roster-wise by the time this game comes around.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking out to see if Nick Chubb will play. He is on my fantasy team, so if he does not play, my playoff hopes might be down the drain. Because, I mean, that's 20 points right there.
I mean, I had Derrick Henry, so.
It was a solid first half.
Well, you're the fantasy owner that dropped Deebo Samuel for some reason.
I didn't know he was on the IR.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't mine. He showed up IR.
Do you not look at the points he gets and is like, hey, this dude can help me win games.
Hey, he's the fourth best ranked receiver.
Mine was an auto draft, so I don't really care about this league. But the other one, the morning league, I'm 5-4, and the other one, I'm 4-5. So I'm playing Jackson White this week.
Well, you're going to lose that one. Other league, other games around the NFL. Cowboys, Falcons, 8 votes, all to the Cowboys, 100%. And the Cardinals versus Panthers, all the votes going to the Cardinals except one. Someone did pick the Panthers. Wonder who that is. Another one, Chargers, Vikings. Chargers get most of the votes. One vote to not Carolina. The Vikings. And then the game before Sunday night, Packers, Seahawks. Rodgers versus Wilson's most likely. Now, the Packers did win the vote 75-25, so the Packers the favorite in that one. Broncos, Eagles for one of the last games of the 425 schedule, and the Broncos do have the main vote, 75-25. Sunday Night Football is a toss-up on our Twitter right now. 50-50, Chiefs, Raiders. I mean, that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I mean, when I went and voted on the poll, I did say the Chiefs. I mean, they've had their struggles this season. But going into this week, I mean, there's been a lot surrounding the Raiders. There's kind of some bad news with them, which, I mean, can affect the way an organization's team plays. I do think it could be a close game, but I did have the Chiefs winning it.
Yeah, I do think the Chiefs are going to win that one, but if they do, lose. And finally, Monday Night Football, Rams, Niners, 100% of the vote to the Los Angeles Rams. That's going to wrap up our NFL segment. Carolina, could they win games with Cam Newton? We're going to have to find out this Sunday. Colts versus Jags, 1 o'clock, Lawrence, first game in Indy. Colts looking to get back to 500. Pacers and more coming up next, Sports Spotlight.
Hi, everybody. It's Barack. Now that every American over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine, I want to talk about you getting yours. The vaccine is safe, it's effective, it's free. I got one. Michelle got one. People you know got one. And now you can get one, too. It's the only way we're going to get back to all the things we love, from safely spending time with grandparents to going to concerts and watching live sports. So get the vaccine as soon as you can.
Visit rshot.in.gov.
Okay, kids, Dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Is this real leather? Of course. You're welcome listening to the Sports Spotlight. And welcome back. I'm your host, Jackson White, now with Kevin Gleva, as we will be finishing out the show doing a duo here in studio at WBDG headquarters, located in Ben Davis High School. But switching topics now, Indiana Pacers, Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets have had some interesting things to lead up to this ball game. Kevin, take it away.
So in a game where Nikola Jokic threw up a half-court shot, really, kind of end-of-quarter shot, it was Marquise Morris, right? Marquise? He came and just dropped his shoulder straight into Jokic's, really, ribs, because he was shooting right-handed, so his right arm was up in the air, and Morris dropped his shoulder right into his ribs, threw just totally unnecessary foul. put Jokic onto the ground and then just started walking away like it was nothing. So Jokic, of course, not happy with it, gets up, charges Morris, and just kind of puts his forearm in his back, shoves into him, throws him to the ground, which Morris ended up, I mean, he was on the ground for a little bit, so hopefully he was totally okay from it, because you don't want to see anyone get hurt. But of course, the Heat were not happy with that. Kind of players met in a huddle, talking to each other, saying, you know, that was a dirty play by Jokic, of course, and all of that stuff. Even after the game, the Heat were trying to get in the hallway by the Nuggets locker room to try and confront them after that play, which, I mean, the Heat were not happy about it. And, you know, you can understand why, because Jokic just absolutely, I mean, just trucked Morris from behind. And, you know, people were saying that it was soft of Jokic to hit him when he's walking away and all this stuff. But, I mean, Morris was the one who started it. He's the one who dropped his shoulder into the Joker's ribs on that shot and just threw him to the ground. So Jokic was really just defending himself on the court. So, I mean, Jokic ended up getting a one-game suspension, which he served against the Pacers in a game that the Pacers ended up losing. And Morris for the Heat just ended up getting a $50,000 fine, which, of course, is, I mean, that's a pretty big fine, but, I mean, they're NBA players who get paid millions and millions. But I don't think Jokic really deserved the suspension. I mean, Morris was the one who instigated the whole situation. He's the one who went and bodied Jokic first. Jokic got up and retaliated. And, I mean, that's something you don't really see a whole lot in the NBA these days. And is it something that should be on the court often? No. But, I mean, if players are going to get chippy and start that sort of thing, I mean, I guess most players probably aren't just going to take it and want to fight back at some point. But, yeah, that's basically the recap of the whole situation, Jackson.
Bullies get bullied. The Morris thinks he's this tough guy, and he deserved it 100%. And I'm happy, and it's just this Miami team thinks they are just so tough. It is just funny, all them all standing in the locker room. Oh, what are you going to do, come beat them up? It's like the thing whenever the Clippers and the Rockets got into it a couple years ago, and they were trying to find the secret tunnels and the Staples Center to go find Chris Paul or something. Chris Paul was going to go try back to the Clippers locker room, like in the secret tunnels. Like, just this is just funny. Miami thinks they're the hardest team in the league. I mean, what are they going to do? Meet us outside? Catch me outside?
Catch me outside.
Like, I could get Jokic getting, you could say, suspended. But I think Jokic had all right to do it. Morris, it was a dirty play on him, and he 100% deserved it, because you shouldn't be playing like that. And, I mean, a little bit of Twitter going on back and forth between the Morris brothers and the Jokic brothers.
Yeah, so of course, the Morris brothers defending each other, not happy about it. And then the Jokic brothers, who, I mean, are not quite as big, but, I mean, I bet they're still 6'8", somewhere around that height. Huge guys, I mean, from Serbia. So people are saying that the Morris brothers want no part of them. And it was even rumored that they bought courtside tickets for the next Nuggets Heat game. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually show up. And, you know, one of the things about the situation was, of course, Jokic hit Morris while he was walking away. But, like, someone like Shaquille O'Neal said about the situation, if you're going to hit me, you better be looking, because, you know, I'm going to defend myself. So when people are calling Jokic soft for hitting him from behind, I mean, I don't know what he was supposed to do. Morris was just walking away after taking that cheap shot on him.
Yeah, it was a cheap shot. I don't know. That was something right there. But Miami did this last year with T.J. Warren. Not last year, the year before. T.J. Warren and Jimmy Butler got into it. Butler's all, I'm marking my calendars. Like, okay, buddy.
The Heat love to start the little beef with people around the league.
This team goes to an NBA finals in a bubble year, and they think they're the stuff. Miami won't get out of the East, and I'll guarantee that one. That team is destined for failure. Failure. Ugh, I can't.
Failure.
Yeah. I couldn't say it, but I don't know. I don't think that team is going to do anything. I do think they're hot right now. Kyle Lowry's a good addition. But there's no way that team can beat the Nets, even the Bucks. I think, I mean, what are they going to put? What's his name? He has lots of shoes. PJ Tucker on him. PJ Tucker, yes. On Giannis. That's not going to work. Miami, I think they're going to be a 3-4 seed. They're a good team, but I don't see them winning the East or winning a championship with this current roster. But going to the Pacers game, we kind of got a little sidetracked. The Pacers lost 101-98 in a close battle, and the Pacers just kind of fell apart late in the fourth. Kind of some bad decisions, some turnovers by some key players, some refs not pointing heads to the right way, and the Pacers lost and now fall to 4-8, and the Nuggets improved to 7-4. And I mean, this Pacer team, I mean, they're playing defense this year. I mean, this was only a 101-98 ball game, but every other game, there's a player injured. I mean, this game really just came down to needing a bucket at the end, and there were some shot creating issues that they did not have with Caris LeVert and TJ Warren out. This team is just going to beat this team, and they have so much talent, but if they can ever put all the talent on the court at the same time, they're just going to be in the middle, and that's what they're currently at. I mean, what are your expectations for the Pacers for the remainder of the year?
I mean, like you said, like at the end of that game, there were shot creation issues. And I mean, without LeVert, they're definitely going to have some issues doing that. And I mean, Warren's another one of those guys who can help with that sort of situation. And Warren, of course, being projected kind of a December return now, if they can get him back and then LeVert stays healthy. And I mean, that's the big thing. People on the team staying healthy. I mean, they could make a run. I mean, they could definitely get to around 500. I kind of thought that's where they may be at the beginning of the year. But, I mean, a team around 500 could be a playoff team. And, of course, not the highest seed. But it's all about how you're playing once you get there. But, I mean, my expectations still aren't too high. But I still think they can kind of recover from this bad start and get back into a playoff contention spot.
Yeah, I don't know. This team always... they always kind of disappoint me, to say the least. They have so much talent, but they're never on the court. And, I mean, I think they're improving. I still don't think that they know really what they have. I don't know. We're going to see. I mean, ultimately, you cannot tell what this team is until they're fully healthy. And who knows if they're ever going to be fully healthy. But they have a quick turnaround. They play the Utah Jazz tonight. So, Pacers Jazz, 9 o'clock. In Utah, Pacers trying to get their fifth win of the year, or fall to 4-9. Utah, a little bit strugglesome out the gate, but they're still a top team in the Western Conference. But for the league, now let's just go wrap up the league standing so far. Guess who the number one team is in the East?
In the East, the...
Guess
it's the Bulls.
No.
Oh, it's not.
It's the Wizards. Washington Wizards currently are 8-3. The Bulls are 8-3 right behind them, but the Wizards are currently number one. So how about them Wizards?
I mean, I didn't really see that coming out this season, so they're definitely off to a hot start. And I mean, really good for them, because kind of showing the East that they're here to play this year.
Hey, Bradley Beal and the boys getting going. Kuzma hit a game winner a couple nights ago. Well, a game ceiling shot. Kyle Kuzma turning his career around in Washington. I don't think they're going to be that good still. They're decent. I don't think the Wizards are going to make the playoffs. They've only played 11 games of the 82. So we'll see. Maybe they can squeak in there. But though, how about them Bulls? This Bulls team is good. Like, they have really figured it out. DeRozan is a great player. I mean, guess who's the leader in steals right now?
For the Bulls or for the whole league?
Whole league.
Caruso.
Caruso is the leader in steals. He's averaging 2 steals a game. He has 29 steals in the first 11 games. Alex Caruso off the Bulls bench leads the league in steals. I didn't think I'd say that. But how about them Bulls? 8-3. Lonzo's looking great. I mean, this team... is legit.
You know, I mean, talking about Caruso, you know, he used to play with LeBron James, and of course playing with LeBron makes you just a better player with the opportunities LeBron creates for you. But, you know, it's Caruso has kind of proved that he can be a solid player in the NBA, getting the money, $30 million contract with the Bulls, going there and proving that he can play no matter what team he's on.
How about them? Caruso, you could say. And the Bulls are really showtime. The Nets are the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference at 8-4. The Sixers and Heat are behind them, both 7-4. And then you have Cleveland sneaking in there, 7-5. I think they just kind of, they have 6 players average over 13 right now. But it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're going to drop very soon. They started the season last year 3-0, but they finished in the bottom. But Evan Mobley, he might win Rookie of the Year. He's looking good, 13 points, 8 rebounds, the center for the Cavs, the rookie. And then the Knicks, 7-5, a team we have not yet mentioned. The Bucks are the 8th seed at 6-6, and they've kind of had a little bit of a strugglesome start. Grayson Allen filling in for the absence of Chris Middleton. Grayson Allen has looked good for the Bucks, but they're still the 8th seed. I do think they're going to climb as the season prolongs. The Raptors are 6-6, and without Pascal Siakam, they've won, I do believe, 5 out of the last 6 games after starting with a rough 1-5. The Raptors have looked good of late. How about them Charlotte Hornets? They have looked good at points this season. They're 6-7, 3-7 in their last 10. But, I mean, this team can throw lobs. This team can shoot threes. They just need a center down low to really tie down this team. But I think the Hornets have lots of potential. Other in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics 5-6, Hawks 4-8 at the 12th seed. The Pacers are the 13th seed in the Eastern Conference at 4-8. And then the bottom dwellers of the Eastern Conference, the Magic and Detroit. For the Western Conference, the best team in the league right now record-wise, and a team that once they get their guy back is, ooh, it's going to be scary. Golden State Warriors 10-1 without Klay Thompson. I mean, this team can play defense. They can shoot it. How about them Warriors?
I mean, I think I saw a graphic where it was talking about just different statistics and where they rank in the league. And I mean, they're first in almost everything, like offense, defense, offensive efficiency, rebounding, all of that stuff. I mean, they don't even have Klay Thompson playing yet. Steph Curry just had a 50-point night the other night. I mean, things are going really well for the Warriors right now. And I mean, they're still a team to reckon with in the NBA.
Yeah, how about them Warriors? I mean, once they get Klay Thompson back, whew,
adding another lethal weapon.
That's good. That team could be scary, and they do have Iguodala on that bench too, so they have all the pieces. The Jazz are the 2 at 8-3. The Suns finally starting to figure it out, and their first 10 games of the season, 7-3. They're the 3 seed. The Nuggets and the Mavericks are tied for 4th. Currently, Nuggets 4, Mavericks 5, both at 7-4. The Clippers have won 5 consecutive games with Paul George averaging 29 a game. He has looked sharp for the Clippers. They're 6-4. The Lakers finally figuring out of late. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're 7-5 on the year, 7th seed. And the Grizzlies, a team that's always in there around the 8th spot. John Morant continues to get better. They're the 8th seed at 6-5. And then you have Kings, Blazers, Thunder, Spurs, Timberwolves, Rockets, and Pelicans, and a team I did not think would be the worst team in the NBA. The Pelicans are 1-11.
Yeah, it has been bad for them.
And just a year ago, people thought this team could sneak in and be a 4 seed because they had talent. I mean, they have 2 All-Stars and Williamson, Zion, and I mean, they have a great guy in Brandon Ingram. I mean, what's going on with New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never really bought the Brandon Ingram hype. I remember when he was kind of a younger player in the league, people kind of thought he was going to be the next Kevin Durant type player. And I mean, he is built like him, but he has gotten nowhere close to being like Kevin Durant.
He can score, but he's just not the leader Durant is.
I don't think he can score like Durant can either. Durant's just
no one can score like Durant. That guy is just a
different level. And then Zion, I mean, he's battled some injuries early this year. So, I mean, things have just not started off well for the Pelicans.
Yeah, the Pelicans 1-11, but that's basically going to wrap up the show. We got NBA recap and all that for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to tune in next Tuesday as the return to Christian Hernandez. We'll be talking everything you want to know about soccer next Tuesday. And then, of course, we're going to have Overreaction Tuesday here on the Sports Spotlight. Colts, Jags, going to recap that one and more. The Pacers have a couple games this weekend and more sports to talk about next Tuesday, the Sports Spotlight. As for Kevin Gleva and Owen Pulley for joining us earlier in the show, I have been Jackson White. Thank you for watching, not watching, listening to the Sports Spotlight. We'll be back next Tuesday. Got some good music coming your way, though. Andy's Giant 90.9.